Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
The World Health Organization creates another team to search for the origins of COVID-19, a mission one official described as a last chance. Plus, why banks feel bullish despite lower than expected revenue, and why American diplomats and spies around the world are coming down with the mysterious Havana syndrome.
The government has been very cautious, sort of not wanting to sound the alarms.
It's Thursday, October 14th. I'm Peter Granitz with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The World Health Organization has created a new team to determine the origins of COVID-19. It follows a previous mission to China, which concluded it was extremely unlikely the virus had escaped from a lab in Wuhan. The group's findings were later panned by other scientists, including the director of the World Health Organization. Dr. Maria van Kerkhove is with the WHO's Health Emergencies Program.
And what we need this group to do is to urgently assess where are we in what we know and what we don't know and what urgently needs to be done.
But China said it's done working with the WHO and has restricted its scientists from researching the virus's origin. Power companies are switching to oil because of the rising costs of natural gas and coal. That is according to the International Energy Agency, which says demand for oil could shoot up 500,000 barrels per day, but supply remains constrained. From maintenance backlogs in Canada to slowed production in the Gulf of Mexico because of Hurricane Ida and OPEC's decision to produce less than the world needs, the current energy crunch has pushed the price of a barrel of Brent crude to a 7-year high. A union representing film and television crews in Hollywood is threatening to strike on Monday unless a deal for a new contract is reached with producers. The International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees wants better wages and reasonable rest breaks and says streaming company workers are paid less than those in traditional entertainment companies. A strike could cost Hollywood millions of dollars by bringing production to a near standstill as it emerges from the COVID-19 pandemic. And 6 weeks after a federal moratorium ended, there's no sign of mass evictions. Research from Princeton University analyzing eviction court filings in 30 cities shows tenant removals were up 8.7% in September from August. That is about half what it was in the September before the pandemic. Local regulations could be helping to keep people in their homes, but courts are now working through a backlog of eviction filings, and the number could start to accelerate. The biggest U.S. banks are reporting their third quarter earnings this week, and it looks like their pandemic profits have plateaued. Analysts expect bank profits to be about 20% higher than a year ago, but down from last quarter. To learn what's going on, we are joined by David Benoit. He covers banking from New York. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
JP Morgan was the first bank to report, and its profits jumped after the bank freed up $2.1 billion that it had set aside for bad loans. But revenue was basically flat. Is this a common thread that we can expect to see from retail banks this season?
Yeah, I think this is about what we will see kind of across the board for big retail banks and investment banks. The story is sort of a lot of their businesses are sort of stuck in neutral, waiting for consumers and businesses to get back to pre-pandemic times and sort of losing out on the few businesses that actually boomed during the pandemic.
What about government stimulus? A lot of people have had more money in the recent months, and we are talking about people getting cash from the government. What has that meant to banks' bottom lines?
Yeah, so this is one of the things that's really helped the banks. A year ago, what we saw was the banks all kind of panicking right up and through the third quarter last year, and they were putting aside a lot of their profits and setting them aside for potential loan losses. They thought the pandemic economy would lead people to not be able to pay off their credit cards or businesses to not be able to pay off their loans. And what we've seen in that $2.1 billion that JP Morgan freed up is sort of the latest sign that that never materialized. And the stimulus and what the government did is kind of the key reason behind that. People still have lots of cash on their balance sheet. People still are paying off their credit cards, even as they're charging more. Even as people are getting back to going to restaurants or getting on a plane, they are paying that card off every month. So that's one of the reasons why the bank profits are sort of just stuck in neutral. They require people to carry over their balances.
Bad news for the banks, good news for people.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are people expected to continue borrowing at a similar pace in the coming months?
Yeah, so what we're expecting is for them to borrow more. JP Morgan said the customers who normally carry over their credit card debt are slowly losing that cushion in their checking account. The stimulus is wearing off inside people's bank accounts is the takeaway. So probably they'll start carrying more credit card debt. And in businesses, they said, we're starting to see businesses getting ready to borrow. It's not there yet. The proof isn't there. But that's sort of the sense they have. And one of the things that they hope will clear up that is all these supply chain issues across the world. Businesses are waiting for that to clear up a little bit so they can borrow more.
The Federal Reserve is expected to raise interest rates sometime next year. What happens to bank profits then?
That is the next key kind of shoe to drop for the banks. Even if customers start borrowing again, banks can't charge them as much because interest rates are essentially zero. So once the Fed starts lifting rates, the banks can start charging their customers more, and then they can kind of increase their profit. Their margins on lending right now are at historic lows, and the banks are really eager to get back to getting a little bit of profit out of that.
David Benoit reports on the banking industry. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Peter.
U.S. unemployment data is due out today, with analysts expecting jobless claims to hold near their lowest level since early 2020. And coming up, what's behind the mysterious brain illness affecting American diplomats around the world?
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
The U.S. Embassy in Colombia has joined a growing list of diplomatic outposts affected by Havana syndrome. At least five American families tied to the embassy in Bogota have reported symptoms of the neurological affliction. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is due to visit the country on a trip to South America next week. And the attack on the diplomatic mission is the latest in a string of them linked to visits by high-ranking American officials, with symptoms being reported in Vietnam and India when Vice President Kamala Harris and CIA Director Bill Burns traveled to those countries. Vivian Salama broke the news of the Colombia attacks and joins us now from her base in Washington. Hi, Vivian.
Hi there.
What do we know about what happened in Colombia?
So around mid-September, diplomats received word that there was at least one case of what's called an anomalous health incident, which is the code phrase these days for the Havana syndrome. And since then, there have been several more cases known to have been reported, including a family, at least one family, possibly even as many as five families, affected by the symptoms that are known to be associated with the Havana syndrome. And so the issue has been growing more serious in recent days, especially, because we know that at least one family was medevaced, and so their symptoms were serious enough that they were taken on helicopters and transported out of the country to address their medical symptoms. But also, this comes as Secretary of State Tony Blinken is getting ready to travel to Colombia. And so that obviously raising a lot of concern at base over there in Colombia, but also here in Washington about his own exposure as well as the growing situation there.
Remind us, what does the U.S. government say it knows about Havana syndrome? What is it?
So it's an unexplained health incident, a neurological, mysterious neurological affliction that we know has been popping up since about 2016. It's called Havana syndrome. Headaches, fatigue, nausea, anxiety, cognitive difficulties, ringing in the head, which is one of the really popular ones we've heard about, as well as memory loss. And so obviously, you know, symptoms like that, it could be a number of things. And so the government has been very cautious in its approach to this, sort of not wanting to sound the alarms or red flags about it, but also saying that they are committed and they take it very seriously. What we do know is that a large number of the diplomats who have been affected in these various posts hail from the intelligence world. And so that's one of the factors that has definitely led officials to believe that these are very targeted and very deliberate attacks. They feel that they're transmitted through sound waves. And so they try to figure out, you know, who from our adversaries may have the technological ability, the intelligence ability to be able to carry out an attack like this through sound waves, potentially, that would cause these neurological issues and disorders with these diplomats. And it's anyone's guess. You know, obviously, a lot of fingers point to the biggest of the adversaries, Russia or China. A lot of suspicion has been about Russia, but no one has really been able to tell. And it's one of these kinds of attacks where there really are no tracks. And so it's so hard to know. And so a lot of questions around the world about this and who else could be exposed.
Aside from the high-level visits of Secretary of State Tony Blinken, of Vice President Harris, of CIA Director Bill Burns, is there anything similar or common among the embassies that have been targeted thus far?
There's not so much a similarity between these embassies. The Colombia embassy was definitely the largest among them. And that's why this one in particular is raising a lot of red flags. It's a target-rich environment because you have people hailing from all these different agencies, obviously intelligence officials and diplomats, but also anti-narcotics, the DEA, a number of other agencies represented there. And so it is something that if your adversary wants to kind of get a target-rich environment, a place like Colombia is a good place for that. And so it's been varied in terms of where these attacks have happened, who has been targeted. But the vast majority, like I said earlier, have been intelligence officials. And so that alone has just been a reason that U.S. officials have believed that this is more than just random targets.
Is this considered an escalation now that families have been targeted? It sounds like their homes, their embassy-provided homes might be a target and not actually the embassy itself.
It's a terrifying thing. And we spoke with some diplomats when we first were doing the story to really try to assess how these families could have been targeted. And by the way, we do think that there is potentially some minors that were impacted in this attack, which will make it stand out from some of the other attacks for sure, although that still remains to be seen and we're still investigating that. But our sources kept on telling us, you know, that's where you draw the red line. It really, when you're hitting families, when you're hitting children, minors, that is definitely an escalation. But whether or not we're hearing that kind of language and response from the U.S. government, a lot of questions about how the U.S. government kind of treats this, who they go after. If they are doing it, it's definitely in a covert manner. We definitely don't hear a lot of talk from the intelligence community about whether or not there's retaliations of it. But from the State Department, from the Defense Department, even the White House, they say they're taking it very seriously, but we don't really see any action with regard to it. And so it's a tough one to tell what's happening behind the scenes.
Vivian Salama covers national security from the Washington Bureau. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And finally, a story for those of us in the cheap seats on planes, those of us suffering the indignity of never having space in the overhead bins because they are always filled by the time we board. Well, there is hope. Boeing and Airbus have manufactured new single-aisle planes with much larger overhead bins. And Wall Street Journal middle seat columnist Scott McCartney says everybody wins.
I think it's clearly better for travelers. There's less stress. You don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, I'm in a late boarding group. I'm going to have my bag checked and all. It's a huge win for airline staff. Flight attendants love this. Gate agents love this. They don't have to mess with a whole lot of problems in boarding that they might otherwise have. And airlines, you know, it's good for airlines. If airlines can reduce delays at the gate and avoid late flights, that saves airlines money. In the long run, in a way, the bins will pay for themselves in just better reliability.
And that's What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Peter Granitz for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.